I invite you to join me right now in reading the scripture lesson for today, Psalm 51, verses 1 and 2. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. O Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. When I think of Psalm 51, I think back to a phone call that came to me as I was at the parsonage at the church I was serving years ago. It was a strange call, but an interesting one. The man's voice said, "Pastor, can I meet you at the church tonight? I really want to talk to you. I've had a conversion. It happened when I was sitting in my truck during my lunch break." Well, you can imagine some of the thoughts that were going through my head when I made my way over to the office later that day. I wondered, well, is he going to tell me that he had a vision? Could it be that he's been hallucinating? You see, I knew a little bit about this man's life. He was not a member of our church. His wife was a member of our church. He had had, to say the least, he had had a very rough past. And yet when we talked that evening, I got to tell you that I'm sure there was a genuine smile that came over my face as I listened to him talk about what had happened to him that day. He said that as he was on his lunch break, he happened to be reading something in his truck there. And then he pulled out of his coat what he had been reading. And I was surprised. He handed me the Meditations devotional booklet that we hand out at our church to our members. His wife apparently had left one in the truck that day. And I looked specifically at what he had been reading. And it was Psalm 51. It was devotions on Psalm 51. And it was about the story of course, David's life, his fall into adultery and murder, and then how he had been restored through God's gracious announcement of forgiveness. This psalm, of course, has been known to touch the lives of many people, and I'm sure it's a favorite of each one of ours as well. It means a lot to us. It certainly does liturgically to us also. We're told by a caption that goes along with this psalm that this apparently did take place after David had committed his sin of adultery, and we know also the sin of murder. You recall the situation on how he had first of all lusted for and then slept with Bathsheba, Uriah the Hittite's wife. And then he so much desired to have her as his own that he arranged to have Uriah put in the front line of battle and be killed. And then after that had taken place, David, King David, swept in and took Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, who now was pregnant with David's own child, to be his very own wife, brought her to the palace. Some time had gone by, you know, and then the prophet Nathan, we're told, had come to David and had spoke directly to him and had him see his sin on the basis of using a small story. You recall that story. We don't need to tell you here. But the story there touched David. But it made David see his sin for what it was. And he said, "I have sinned against the Lord." And right away we're told that the prophet then announced to him that God had put away his sin. Thinking back on that incident, David then writes the words of Psalm 51. He also writes the words of Psalm 32. And in Psalm 51 here, he then says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love." How do David's words here in Psalm 51 also relate to your life and my life today? I think as we take a look at the words of the psalm, of course, it does remind us of the amazing manner of our Maker's mercy, doesn't it? The manner is amazing because we can make our appeal to God's great compassion. And at the same time, it's very amazing because we see there's such a thorough cleansing that takes place. Like that man sitting in the truck, we've got pasts too that we're not so proud of as we think back on various things in our lives. When we take a look at our own hearts, search our hearts on the basis of thus saith the Lord, we have to see, too, that there are many things in our lives which has shown us to be nothing but lawbreakers before our Almighty Maker. Maybe there's a temptation for us to think, as we think of the account of David, for example, to think, you know, if I were David and were so blessed, being the king of Israel and having so many things that way, and so much power at his possession, if I were David, I don't know if I could see myself carrying through with all the details that he did in this sordid account of his life. But you and I know that there's a scripture verse that speaks to that also in our lives. If you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Even the world recognizes, doesn't it, what can happen with passion as it takes over in our life, and how it can then move you to do something else and something else and something else. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when at first we practice to deceive, as you know Shakespeare said. Young or old here today, the words of the sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. The words of the fifth commandment, you shall not kill. These words really have been violated by us. If not actually always in deed, well then, thought. As we've had a glance that's lingered a little bit too long in forbidden territory. Or as there's been those feelings of hatred, even if it's been only for a moment there, but feelings of hatred instead of the kindness that should have been shown and the understanding in a particular situation. Where do we make our appeal? We're helpless people, aren't we? Do we try to appeal to anything inside of ourselves? Something that maybe it's our good intentions. Though we've done wrong, we think, well, God knows our intentions. King David did not make his appeal to any intentions on his part. Intentions as the great king of Israel that you say had gone awry for a day or so, or a number of days, of course, in his life that way, as he peered over the wall of his palace and took him down that path. No, David's appeal is only here when it says, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, O Lord, blot out my transgressions. That is our appeal also, isn't it, dear friends, right here today? Our appeal is too, because of the Lord's great mercy, we're not consumed. His compassions are new, his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And the mercy of our God most clearly is shown to us, isn't it, in the sending of his dear Son to be our perfect Redeemer. Jesus, we can say, is certainly mercy personified by our God for you and me and for every sinner in the world. That's the amazing manner of our Maker's mercy. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But the amazing manner here of God's mercy is also showing us in this matter, and that is that there is such a thorough cleansing that takes place. That's how it was for the life of David. Though his slate had been soiled, that dirty resume from the past had been completely wiped out. And David could know that was the case before the Lord. Even though he had to bear up with some earthly consequences as a result of the sin that had taken place in his life. The child born to himself in Bathsheba died. The sword didn't depart from David's house until the time he left this earth, and so on. But he could still know that his sin had been so thoroughly removed. Why? Because of God's announcement to him. God's announcement was, "The Lord has put away your sin." The prophet had spoken those words in the place of God himself to him. And David knew that announcement could be made to him only for one big reason, and that is because of the promise of David's greater son coming one day. That announcement also has been made in your life and mine. God has put away your sin, my sin. And you and I know that the reason that's true, that announcement is so true for our life to take comfort in, is because David's greater son has already come on the scene. Jesus Christ has arrived. He lived the life you and I could not. And then he goes to the cross there, pours out the holy blood of the Lamb of God himself. He pours that out to pay for the guilt and the punishment of our sins in the place of our Heavenly Father. And his resurrection seals the deal for us in God's hall of justice, shall we say, letting us know that the Lord really has blotted out our transgressions, that the Lord remembers our sins no more. By faith in our Maker's amazing mercy, that mercy shown us in Christ, and that faith worked by the power of the Holy Spirit through water and the Word, you and I can know that we got a new life. We've been transformed. We've been given a new life. So new is it that one day we're going to even have glorified bodies for eternity. That's the amazing manner of our Maker's mercy. Does that mercy move us? What do you think David did every day of his life from then on, once he had been forgiven? I've often wondered, could David have had a habit every day of getting up and saying the words that are very familiar to us because of our liturgy from this psalm? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David had a fervent desire to want to fight against temptation. May that desire also be there for you and me, to fight daily against temptation. Like another man of faith, Joseph, may you and I look that sin in the face and then say, because of the face of our Lord Jesus Christ turned toward us, may we say, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Let's hold firmly to God's mercy in Christ, just as did King David long ago, and just as did that man in the truck, whom I'm happy to tell you here eventually did become an active member of our congregation. God be with every one of you today, and remember above all the amazing mercy of our Heavenly Father. Amen.